Thank you, Linda. Thank you, team. If you could turn with me to Revelation 21, 1 to 8, and I want to give you a pastoral response to the last probably 18 months or 2 years in the life of our church have been quite difficult for a lot of people. There's been relationship stress, emotional stress, cancer, and other forms of illness. And that was brought home to me over the last few weeks with Stella's mum passing and, of course, Anne's funeral on Thursday. And I echo Bruce's response. I have the privilege, not the right, but the privilege to call this my home church. I forget the pastor thing for a minute. Because consistently what I have seen is the people of this church gather around those who are doing it tough, putting aside their own time, preferences, perhaps incomes, to come and support and gather and minister. And that has been reflected again last Thursday as we supported the Bennett family. I saw that as our family gathered and other people at our old home church in Adelaide, where God was glorified because of what he did in the life of Mum, and God was glorified last Thursday of what he did in the life of Anne. We live in a fallen world. And today I want to encourage us and talk to you and perhaps build you confidence in where you're going. We don't often talk about heaven except some sayings about we're going to heaven. But today I want us to have a clear recognition and resolution in our mind that this place is not our destiny. This is just the earthly home that we live in until we get to eternity. We all know that and we say that, but how you respond to that will make an enormous difference as you live out this life and your hope for the future. What do you hope for? Can you deal with the adversity that you suffer in light of where you're going? And hopefully we can encourage you to do that. You see, we all face trials of many kinds. But my hope is in glory, or my hope is in heaven, another phrase that we can use. And I trust that your hope is there also. Because I'll tell you why my hope is there. Because when I put my trust in Jesus 1 week before Easter in 1994, this earth is not what I signed up for. I recognize there is a better place for me to be, and that is with Jesus Christ, and that's where he dwells. Don't you want that? That's what I want. When you hear the words, I'm going to heaven, or he or she, as we say at funerals, going to heaven. What do you think of? I found some really interesting quotes here. The connections we make in the course of a life, maybe that's what heaven is. So it's all about relationships. In heaven, all the interesting people are missing. I won't tell you his name because he's dead and it doesn't matter and you can't write him letters. Heaven goes by favour. If it went by merit, you would stay out and your dog would go in. We need to reconcile in the good times and the bad. We are citizens of another time and another place, even though we are citizens of New Zealand. Paul told us in Colossians 3, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. How good is that? Okay. So when we live in the contrast, in the constant knowledge that we are citizens of another age, it would be wise then to concentrate our efforts to understand what that age is. What does it look like? Remember what Romans 12 says. We are not to be conformed to this age, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We need to think about this, place it on our hearts so that when trouble comes, we can endure and say, hey, temporary, I'm going to heaven. Jesus says, behold, in Revelation 21:5, I make all things new. And while we wait, we have work to do. Don't think for 1 minute that because we're waiting on heaven that you are not useful right here and now. That could not be further from the truth. Everyone has value. Everyone has a place to a role to play. The person who realizes their glorious future is in heaven will naturally react to that and respond out of love and adoration and joy for the Lord Jesus Christ and put themselves at the forefront of their ministry. The Colossians emphasize this point again as Paul writes in chapter 1. We have heard of the love you have for the saints. That's something I experienced again on Thursday. We have heard of the love you have for the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. And I spoke to many people on Thursday who said, when I go to heaven, I hope I have the confidence to go there well. Well, that can only be determined on how much you want to love and adore Jesus Christ and believe in what he says in his word. Because I believe what he says. The hope of heaven should compel us to take risks. And the risk that it would exemplify unconditional love. Radical changes to our lives. Just maybe, so when someone looks in at you, they will say, I want to know who God is. I want to know who this Jesus is. In verse 5, when he says, behold, I make all things new, he reinforces that statement. He reinforces his creative purpose that he alone is on his throne, not you or I. He is going to make all things new. It is a divine utterance. He gives us the words. Have full assurance. He wants us to know no matter how much evil in this world, how much suffering, how much uncertainty we see now, he will make all things new and we will no longer endure this pain and suffering. And the death that we see. Well, here's some things that I want to share with you to hopefully will encourage you and build you up. God is going to change us and make us spiritually and morally new in heaven. Wow. Won't that be good? But right now we live in a difficult age and our sin still besets us. It is a difficult thing to say that we are still sinners, but we are saved by the grace of God. Romans 7:23 says, I delight in the law of God in myself, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of the mind. It's really hard to be holy when sin crouches at our door. We always fall short of what we want to be, and we get that, I've done it again. And we struggle and we groan towards wanting to be holy. Perhaps you've come here today and your worship this morning has been dry and listless because your heart has been hardened. Your heart has been hardened by your life's experience. We desperately want peace. But we feel exasperated, anxious and distressed. We want to love so much the other person, but we look at their foibles and look at their difficulties and look how difficult they are to get along with. And we say things that are hurtful. You see, that's what sin does. We so desperately want to be holy and above reproach. but impure thoughts rack our brains and drive us away and invade our minds. Yet I do know that the Spirit of God is there helping us in our weaknesses. It's not what we hope for here, friends. But God is good. And His promises to make us spiritually anew, morally anew, whole and complete. Verse 2, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And here we got a picture of this beautiful bride coming down to her husband Jesus Christ. When God makes all things new, He makes the church, the people, new. We are the people of God. He's going to be spiritually and moral. We are going to be spiritually and morally beautiful for who? For His Son. Look at the way it is described in Revelation 9 and verses 9 and 11. Then came one of the seven angels, had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And the Spirit he carried away to the great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down of heaven from God. Similar image to in verse 2, it says. In 11, it says, having the glory of God, its radiance like most a rare jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. Don't you long for that day when you can look at that and see purity? You can see right through what God has made you, how God loves you. As you are connected with the Son of God, we are married to the Lamb. This is what God is going to do for us. Do you understand that spiritual morality, spiritual fervor will only be complete, and now we struggle and strain? I know that because I struggle and strain. It's a difficult proposition when we make out we're perfect here, when we'll only be perfect in heaven. And there's been much made of this next point, is that we will have a new body. Some people think they're going to be Adonis, the next model, all this sort of stuff. No, He's going to transform our bodies, recognizable bodies. Right now, Mum and Anne are away from their physical bodies, ready in the resurrection to be bought to make a body like Jesus Christ's body. As I approach my year, I think there's something on the floor and I go to pick it up. Now, I'm only 5'6", wringing wet, and it's not that far down there. And it's hard sometimes to grasp that and to go and pick it up. I go kick the football with my kids and the ball runs under my... Never did that before. It runs underneath. That's the real football, by the way, the nice leather one, not that other thing. But it rolls under my fingertip. How come I can't do that anymore? Because we live in decaying bodies. And we're going to have a new body. See what it says in verse 4 of 21 of Revelation. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. No more death. No more funerals. No more tears. No more mourning over people that we have lost because we've had relationships. There's no more suffering. Therefore, there's no more suffering, no more tears, no more death. Our bodies must be changed in the glorious heavenly realms with Jesus Christ. Right now, though, the reality is this. Our bodies are being ravaged. Ravaged by death. I often say to people, we start dying the day we're born. That sounds ridiculous, right? Because we don't know the day or the hour. But we start dying the day we were born. I had no clue at the age of four, even though I can't really remember her, but my sister Lynette died at two suddenly. But the vision I remember, I may have shared this with you before, at a place called Tillett Cemetery, the gravestone place. I remember my mum and dad as if it was yesterday. And bearing in mind, this was 56 years ago. My mum and dad embracing, and I'm clinging onto my dad because they were distressed because they'd lost a two-year-old. I don't know what they went through. I was four. What I do know is I didn't grow up with Lynette. But I saw the pain and the anguish, the frustration, the tears, the hurt that went on in the family. I come from a family that have, is a blended family, as you know. And I've seen the frustration and the anger that, has built up over many years because of lost relationships and hurt and bitterness and pain and suffering. But when I became a Christian, I had to reconcile to myself, God will make all things new. And what we're experiencing on this earth is nothing new since the fall of mankind. When Adam grabbed the crown, reached out for God's crown and wanted autonomy. That's why we suffer. That's why we have pain. But Revelation makes it clear. God will make all things new. In Philippians 3, 20 to 21, he says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. We're going to be made like Jesus. Will we have deity? No. But our bodies will be like him. It'll be a new body. It will never die. It will never hurt. And we will never cry. You might say, Daryl, but you know, I've seen some horrific things, people with major deformities in life. How can they find joy? I want to tell you a story of a young man called Jeremy Hartchin. Jeremy Hartchin was a man with cerebral palsy, a boy racked with it. Couldn't speak, couldn't feed himself. Went to be with Jesus at the age of about 32 years of age. But this is what I know about Jeremy. His adopted mother loved him and pointed him towards Jesus. And I remember one night we were doing a Bible study at Sylvia's house with a couple of young people, and Jeremy and Joel were there. Joel was the other person she adopted who had Down syndrome. Lovely boy, hey Stella? Hello, Darryl Ward. I've got to preach, Joe, in 3 hours. Can you let go? Beautiful boy. Beautiful boy. And I saw the best in church with that young man. Because that young man used to conduct their orchestra, Down Syndrome Orchestra. They travelled the world. And on a Sunday morning, they would let him come up and he'd conduct us. And if you weren't singing, you got that. And off he'd go. You remember that, Elijah? Yeah. But I want to turn back to Jeremy. I remember Jeremy at this study one night, and he couldn't speak, and he had to tap away with his foot. And he's tapping and tapping and tapping and tapping, and it went on and on and on. I thought, this guy's writing an epistle. And what do you think of Jesus, Jeremy? Daryl, he's my friend. And one day, I'm going to be able to hug you. One day, I'll be able to walk. I'm waiting for my body to be redeemed. What do you do with that? We just mopped up the tears on the floor. Because there is a young man who people pitied, but he knew His hope wasn't in this earth. And he was a smart kid. He completed his legal studies, even with his disfigurement. And yet he knew that this wasn't the end. It's just what he had to suffer. God makes all things new, and he makes our bodies new. Verse 1, let's go back to verse 1. I know we haven't read the passage because I deliberately did that. We'll read it at the end. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. We are going to have a new creation. If we're going to get new bodies, being our perfected bodies like Jesus Christ, we need a new place, a perfect place for us to live. And God promises that. There's a few theories around what it'll look like. I'm not going to go in that today. But what we do know, it'll be completely new. Whether it's a new complete place or it's been rejuvenated on this earth is not what the topic is today. Romans 8:21 said the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the liberty of the glory of the children of God. Now I want you to think about that. Creation is under bondage and we know it's groaning, waiting for its redemption. Like our bodies are waiting, creation is groaning. We see that everywhere. But the children of God will have a glorious place to live in. That's another thing that's fantastic. Not only do we get to see Jesus and we get a new body, we get to see a new creation. This fallen creation will be set free from the decay and its groaning will cease. So when we see that God makes all things new, he doesn't just start and finish with us. He does the whole thing. A perfect environment. And perhaps the most beautiful thing is a new relationship with Jesus Christ. I know that we have a relationship with Jesus. If you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been saved. If you believe that Jesus rose from the dead, you have been saved. Can you imagine what it would be like to see Christ and worship him? I try, but it's not great. I can't get my head around it. What will I say? What will I do? You know, how do I approach? But would it change my attitude to when I worship, to when I come here on a Sunday knowing that one day could be imminent that I am going to meet Christ? What would my worship look like then as I approach the Lord Jesus Christ to worship him forever? What would happen to me? You know, and we have an opportunity every Sunday morning and through the week in our small groups and whatever ministry we do, we have an opportunity right here, even right now, to seek his face in complete adoration and love for him as humanly possible. Perhaps more than you've ever done before. Putting away all of the anxiety and the bitterness and the frustration that you might have and just to say, Jesus, I want to live before you and soak into your goodness for me because I believe everything you say to me. Verse 3, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling of God is within men. He will dwell with them and they shall be his people and God himself will be with them. God with us. I remember that somewhere else. God with us, Emmanuel. But this is going to be complete. Of course, we know that his spirit indwells us right now, 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. You have an opportunity to worship him, to live out your life even today, because the Spirit of God is helping you do that. He's trying to make sense of what's going on in your life. He's helping you, point you in the right direction as you read Scripture. The question is, do you play ball? That's the real issue. We know that we are close to God because the Spirit of God is within us, but we are also far away from the Lord because we are not in our heavenly realm right now. We are in this dwelling place called earth that is groaning. Our relationship and our worship of the Lord will undoubtedly change. Are you looking forward to that change? Are you looking forward to being in His presence, in His glorious light? We said on Thursday, it was said on the 30th of December, at Mum's Funeral, absent from the body, present with the Lord, waiting for the redemptive body to come. It is a promise that we hold in tension while we live here. Revelation 22, 3 and 5 says, no longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God, and the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. There will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. I think that's a picture that we need to hang on to. When God makes all things new, He makes us new spiritually. He gives us a new perfect body like Jesus. He reverses creation's groaning and makes it whole again. Our relationship with Him and other people will be out of pure hearts, pure love, and our worship will be utterly glorious. Now that you know this, what will you do with it? How will your faith look? How would the way you love others look? How will the way that you enter into worship every day of the week look? How will your service for Him look? I trust, as we have briefly gone through this today, that your resilience might be stronger because you know where you're going. It's difficult for us that have been left behind. And what I often make remark about to people when we stand and people give testimony to the person who has just gone to be with Jesus, we remember them for the qualities that they had in life. You see, this is my mind. When you enter Jesus' place, does He actually remember your sin? No. And I think that's a good thing to remember. He has washed it all away. I said these words, don't worry about Anne. She's fine. We're the ones with the problem. Graham and Mark, I just want to say to you this morning that I know this is maybe difficult for you to hear and Stella at her mum's passing, but I want you to be encouraged that while we are here still and Anne is gone, she's far better off. We're not, because we miss her, but she's far better off. Mum is far better off. We love Mum. We love Anne. But you would not deny a person this glorious right, would you? How could we? If we have any semblance of faith, we want this for everyone. Out of here and with Jesus. I want to let you in on a little secret here. Compared with Jesus, I'm not that good. And Stella knows that. So why wouldn't you want to be with Him? I trust you will have more resilience in suffering, a deeper faith in persecution, and learn to worship Christ in every circumstance, whether joyful or difficult, until His glorious coming to make all things new. Let's just read the passage of Scripture. Chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and the death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Verse 6, "And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give them a spring of water of life without payment.' Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the glory that awaits us. Your glory, not our own. But Father, we want to be encouraged today to know that this is not the end. We thank you for your words, your scriptures, which continually tell us this is not the end. But we do know, Father, that this is a painful place for us who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ a lot of the time, even though we can see your glory through your people. We can look at your creation and give you thanks. But we know this one thing. You are coming. And those who have gone to be with you. So we praise you, we worship you, we give you thanks, we adore you. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, Linda.